Time Warner Audiobooks presents Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, written by Robert T. Kiyosaki with Sharon L. Lecter, CPA, and read by Jim Ward.
Hello, my name is Robert Kiyosaki. I am the author of the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book series. Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a true story about my two dads, one my real dad and one my best friend's father. My real dad was a smart, highly educated man, at one time the head of education for the state of Hawaii. In my book, he was my poor dad because regardless of how much money he made, he was usually broke at the end of every month. My rich dad was my best friend's father. Although he started out his life without any money, he wound up being one of the richest men in the state of Hawaii. When you look at the white sand beaches, the blue ocean, the tall palm trees, the hula girls, and the tall hotels, Rich Dad owned the land under some of those hotels. The Rich Dad book and audio series reveals the lessons on money, careers, and business that my rich dad taught me, contrasted to the lessons my poor dad taught me. For many people, reading the simple stories gives them insights into the lessons about money they learned from their own parents, often saying such things as, "I had a poor dad," or "My dad sounded very much like your rich dad." This program, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, is about a very important icon or diagram that my rich dad used to educate his son and me about money, investing, and choosing a career path in life. Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant is about the four different people or cast of characters that make up the world of money, business, and investing. The Cash Flow Quadrant is about the differences between the E Quadrant, which stands for employee, the S Quadrant, which stands for self-employed or small business owner, the B Quadrant, which stands for business owner, and the I Quadrant, which stands for investor. Years ago, when I was just a boy, my highly educated dad, the man I call my poor dad, often said to me, "Son, go to school, get good grades, so that you can get a safe, secure job with excellent benefits." My rich dad, on the other hand, said, "If you follow your dad's advice, you'll wind up in the E Quadrant. It's okay to be in the E Quadrant if what you really want in life is job security. But if you want to be rich, the E Quadrant is the hardest quadrant to become rich in." The reason my rich dad said that was for many reasons, which are found in this book. The result of my rich dad's advice and the use of the cash flow quadrant changed my choice of career path and the direction I took once I was old enough to decide what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. As you may have guessed, I did not follow my poor dad's advice and look for job security in the E Quadrant, nor did I go into the world of self-employment or small business, also known as the S Quadrant. Instead, I used my rich dad's advice and the cash flow quadrant and chose to enter the B Quadrant, the quadrant for business owners, and the I Quadrant, the quadrant for investors. So who is Rich Dad's quadrant for? My answer is that it is for anyone who is familiar with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and is now ready to make some changes in their life, changes that may require a change from one quadrant to another. As you listen to this program, you may soon discover that the four people in the four quadrants are four totally different people. As you listen to and read this book, you will find that the four people found in the four different quadrants are different mentally as well as emotionally. You will also find that it is the emotional differences that play a much more important role in determining which quadrant a person ultimately gravitates to. For example, a person who is in the E quadrant is often motivated by the need for security. A person found in the S quadrant is often motivated by the need for independence, wanting to do things on their own, not relying on others. So this program goes into the differences between each of the four quadrants. As I said, it is for anyone looking for some kind of change in their life, either professionally or financially. This program does not imply that one quadrant is better than the other. It does, however, stress, as my rich dad stressed, that each of us should choose a quadrant or quadrants that best suit our own core values, personal beliefs, and future dreams. I use my rich dad's cash flow quadrant as a guide to find my own true self and the life's path that was best for me. This audio program has been created to serve as your guide to the future and your own personal self-discovery and to unlock what is important to you in your own life.
Are you financially free? If you have come to a financial fork in the road and you want to take control of what you do today in order to change your financial destiny, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant will help you chart your course. Each of us resides in at least one of the four quadrants of the cash flow quadrant. Where we are is determined by where our cash comes from. Many of us rely on paychecks and are therefore employees. while others are self-employed. Employees and self-employed individuals reside on the left side of the cash flow quadrant. The right side of the cash flow quadrant is for individuals who receive their cash from businesses they own or investments they own. Rich Dad's cash flow quadrant is about the four different types of people who make up the world of business, who they are, and what makes individuals in each quadrant unique. It will help you to find where you are in the quadrant today and help you chart a course for where you want to be in the future as you choose your own path to financial freedom. While financial freedom can be found in all four of the quadrants, the skills of a B, business owner, or an I, investor, will help you to reach your financial goals more quickly. A successful E, employee, should also become a successful I, investor. This program is the second in the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series. For those of you who may not have listened to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it was about the different lessons my two dads taught me about the subject of money and life choices. One was my real dad, and the other my best friend's dad. One was highly educated, and the other a high school dropout. One was poor, and the other rich. Whenever I was asked the question, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" my highly educated but poor dad always recommended, "Go to school, get good grades, and then find a safe, secure job." Poor dad was recommending that I choose to become either a high-paid employee or a high-paid S, self-employed, such as a medical doctor, lawyer, or accountant. My poor dad was very concerned about a steady paycheck, benefits, and job security. My rich but uneducated dad, on the other hand, offered very different advice. He recommended, go to school, graduate, build businesses, and become a successful investor. This audio program is for people who are ready to change quadrants. It is for people who are ready to move beyond job security and begin to achieve financial security. It is not an easy life's path, but the prize at the end is worth the journey. It is the journey to financial freedom. Rich Dad told me a simple story when I was 12 years old that has guided me to great wealth and financial freedom. It was Rich Dad's way of explaining the difference between the left side of the cash flow quadrant, the E, employee, and S, self-employed quadrants, from the right side, or the B, business owner, and I, investor quadrants. It goes, once upon a time, there was this quaint little village. It was a great place to live, except for one problem. The village had no water unless it rained. To solve this problem once and for all, the village elders decided to put out to bid the contract to have water delivered to the village on a daily basis. Two people volunteered to take on the task, and the elders awarded the contract to both of them. They felt that a little competition would keep prices low and ensure a backup supply of water. The first of the two people who won the contract, Ed, immediately ran out, bought two galvanized steel buckets, and began running back and forth along the trail to the lake, which was a mile away. He immediately began making money as he labored morning to dusk, hauling water from the lake with his two buckets. He would empty them into the large concrete holding tank the village had built. Each morning, he had to get up before the rest of the village awoke to make sure there was enough water for the village when it wanted it. It was hard work, but he was very happy to be making money and for having one of the two exclusive contracts for this business. The second winning contractor, Bill, disappeared for a while. He was not seen for months, which made Ed very happy since he had no competition. Ed was making all the money. Instead of buying two buckets to compete with Ed, Bill had written a business plan, created a corporation, found four investors, employed a president to do the work, and returned 6 months later with a construction crew. Within a year, his team had built a large volume stainless steel pipeline which connected the village to the lake. At the grand opening celebration, Bill announced that his water was cleaner than Ed's water. Bill knew that there had been complaints about dirt in Ed's water. Bill also announced that he could supply the village with water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ed could only deliver water on the weekdays. He did not work on weekends. Then Bill announced that he would charge 75% less than Ed did for the higher quality and more reliable source of water. The village cheered and ran immediately for the faucet at the end of Bill's pipeline. In order to compete, Ed immediately lowered his rates by 75%, bought two more buckets, added covers to his buckets, and began hauling four buckets each trip. In order to provide better service, he hired his two sons to give him a hand for the night shift and on weekends. When his boys went off to college, he said to them, "Hurry back, because someday this business will belong to you." For some reason, after college, his two sons never returned. Eventually, Ed had employees and union problems. The union was demanding higher wages, better benefits, and wanted its members to only haul one bucket at a time. Bill, on the other hand, realized that if this village needed water, then other villages must need water too. He rewrote his business plan and went off to sell his high-speed, high-volume, low-cost, and clean water delivery system to villages throughout the world. He only makes a penny per bucket of water delivered, but he delivers billions of buckets of water every day. Regardless if he works or not, billions of people consume billions of buckets of water, and all that money pours into his bank account. Bill has developed a pipeline to deliver money to himself as well as water to the villages. Bill lived happily ever after, and Ed worked hard for the rest of his life and had financial problems forever after. The end. This story of Bill and Ed has guided me for years. It has assisted me in my life's decision-making process. I often ask myself, am I building a pipeline or hauling buckets? And, am I working hard or am I working smart? The answers to those questions have made me financially free. And financial freedom is what this program is about. I've divided this program into three sections. In the first part, I will explore the differences between people in the four quadrants. The next section is about personal change and identifies whom you have to be instead of what you have to do. The last section of this program will define the seven steps that you can take on your path to change. Along the way, I will share more of my Rich Dad secrets and help you choose your own path to financial freedom. Why don't you get a job? In 1985, my wife Kim and I were homeless. We were unemployed and had little money left from our savings. Our credit cards were exhausted, and we lived in an old brown Toyota with reclining seats that served as beds. At the end of 1 week, the harsh reality of who we were, what we were doing, and where we were headed began to sink in. Our homelessness lasted for another 2 weeks. A friend, when she realized our desperate financial situation, offered us a room in her basement. We lived there for 9 months. When friends and family were informed of our plight, the first question was always, "Why don't you get a job?" At first we attempted to explain, but in most instances we failed to clarify our reasons. To someone who values a job, it is difficult to explain why you might not want a job. Occasionally we did a few odd jobs and earned a few dollars here and there. But we did that only to keep food in our stomachs and gas in the car. I must admit that during moments of deep personal doubt, the idea of a safe, secure job with a paycheck was appealing. But because job security was not what we were looking for, we kept pushing on, living day to day, on the brink of the financial abyss. That year, 1985, was the worst of our lives, as well as one of the longest. Anyone who says that money isn't important obviously has not been without it for long. Kim and I fought and argued often. Fear, uncertainty, and hunger shortens the human emotional fuse, and often we fight with the person who loves us the most. Yet, love held the two of us together, and our bond as a couple grew stronger because of the adversity. We knew where we were going. We just did not know if we would ever get there. We knew we could always find a safe, secure, high-paying job. Both of us were college graduates with good job skills and solid work ethics. But we were not going for job security. We were going for financial freedom. In 1989, we were millionaires. Although financially successful in some people's eyes, we still had not reached our dreams. By then, we never had to work again for the rest of our lives. Barring any unforeseen financial disaster, we were both financially free. Kim was 37 and I was 47. It doesn't take money to make money. I often hear people say, it takes money to make money. I disagree. We had no money when we started, and we were in debt. It also does not take a good formal education. Many successful people have left school without receiving a college degree. People such as Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, Bill Gates, Ted Turner. So what does it take? My answer? It takes a dream, a lot of determination, a willingness to learn quickly, and the ability to use your God-given assets properly, and to know which sector of the cash flow quadrant to generate your income from. Which quadrant do you generate your income from? Rich Dad's cash flow quadrant represents the different methods by which income or money is generated. For example, an employee earns money by holding a job and working for someone else or a company. Self-employed people earn money working for themselves. A business owner owns a business that generates money, and investors earn money from their various investments. In other words, money generating more money. Different methods of income generation require different frames of mind, different technical skills, different educational paths, and different types of people. Different people are attracted to different quadrants. you can earn income in all four quadrants. Most of us have the potential to generate income from all four quadrants. Which quadrant you or I choose to earn our primary income from is not so much what we learned in school. It is more about who we are at the core, our core values, strengths, weaknesses, and interests. It is these core differences that attract us to or repel us from the four quadrants. For example, a medical doctor could choose to earn income as an employee and join the staff of a large hospital, or work for the government, the public health service, become a military doctor, or join the staff of an insurance company needing a doctor on its staff. The same doctor could also decide to earn income as an S, self-employed, and start a private practice, setting up an office, hiring staff, and building a private list of clients. Or the doctor could decide to become a B, business owner, and own a clinic or laboratory, and have other doctors on staff. The doctor probably would hire a business manager to run the organization. In this case, the doctor would own the business but not have to work in it. The doctor could also decide to own a business that has nothing to do with the medical field while still practicing medicine somewhere else. In this case, the doctor would be earning income as both an E, employee, and as a B, business owner. As an I, investor, the doctor also could generate income from being an investor in someone else's business or in vehicles like the stock market, bond market, and real estate. The important words are generate income from. It is not so much what we do, but more how we generate income. More than anything, it is the internal differences of our core values, strengths, weaknesses, and interests that affect which quadrant we decide to generate our income from. Some people love being employees, while others hate it. Some people love owning companies but do not want to run them. Others love owning companies and also love running them. Certain people love investing, while others only see the risk of losing money. Most of us are a little of each of these characters. Being successful in the four quadrants often means redirecting some internal core values. Not all quadrants are equal. By knowing the different features of each quadrant, you'll have a better idea as to which quadrant or quadrants might be best for you. For example, one of the reasons I chose to work predominantly in the B, business owner, and I, investor quadrants, is because of tax advantages. For most people working on the left side of the quadrant, there are few legal tax breaks available. Yet, legal tax breaks abound on the right side of the quadrant. By working to generate income in these quadrants, I could acquire money faster and keep that money working for me longer without losing large chunks to pay taxes. When people ask why Kim and I were homeless back in 1985, I tell them it was because of what my rich dad taught me about money. For me, money is important, yet I did not want to spend my life working for it. That is why I did not want a job. If we were going to be responsible citizens, Kim and I wanted to have our money work for us rather than spend our lives physically working for money. That is why the cash flow quadrant is so important. It distinguishes between the different ways in which money is generated. There are ways of being responsible and creating money other than physically working for it. But in order to embrace wealth, it is essential to understand your relation to it. My highly educated dad had a strong belief that the love of money was evil, that to profit excessively meant you were greedy. He often said, "I'll never be rich," or "investing is risky," or "money isn't everything." My rich dad had a different point of view. He thought it foolish to spend your life working for money and pretend that money was not important. Rich dad believed that life was more important than money, but money was important for supporting life. He often said, "You only have so many hours a day, and you can only work so hard. So why work hard for money? Learn to have money, and people work hard for you, and you can be free to do the things that are important." To my rich dad, what was important was to have lots of time to raise his kids, to have money to donate to charities and projects he supported, to bring jobs and financial stability to the community, to have time and money to take care of his health, and to be able to travel the world with his family. "Those things take money," said Rich Dad. "That is why money is important to me. Money is important, but I don't want to spend my life working for it." It was my Rich Dad who often referred to the cash flow quadrant when I was a young boy. He would explain to me the difference between someone who was successful on the left side versus the right side. Having two dynamic and successful father figures around me gave meaning to what each was saying. But it was what they were doing that allowed me to begin to notice the differences between the ES side of the quadrant and the BI side. One painful lesson I experienced as a young boy was simply how much time one dad had available to spend with me versus the other. As the success and prominence of both dads grew, it was obvious that one dad had less and less time to spend with his wife and four children. My real dad was always on the road, at meetings, or dashing off to the airport for more meetings. The more successful he got, the fewer dinners we had together as a family. Weekends he spent at home in his crowded little office, buried under paperwork. My rich dad, on the other hand, had more and more free time as his success grew. One of the reasons I learned so much about money, finance, business, and life was simply because my rich dad had more and more free time for his children and me. Although both dads made more and more money as they became successful, my real dad, the educated one, also got further into debt. So he'd work harder and suddenly find himself in a higher income tax bracket. His banker and accountant would then tell him to buy a bigger house for the so-called tax break. My dad would follow the advice and buy a bigger house, and soon he was working harder than ever so he could make more money to pay for the new house, taking him even further away from his family. My rich dad was different. He made more and more money, but paid less in taxes. He, too, had bankers and accountants, but he was not getting the same advice my highly educated dad was getting. Yet the driving force that would not allow me to stay on the left side of the quadrant was what happened to my highly educated but poor dad at the peak of his career. In the early 1970s, I was already out of college and in Pensacola, Florida, going through pilot training for the Marine Corps, on my way to Vietnam. My educated dad was now the superintendent of education for the state of Hawaii and a member of the governor's staff. One evening, my dad phoned me in my room on base. "Son," he said, "I'm going to resign from my job and run for lieutenant governor of the state of Hawaii for the Republican Party." I gulped and then said, "You're going to run for office against your boss?" "That's right," he replied. "Why?" I asked. "Republicans do not have a chance in Hawaii. The Democratic Party and the labor unions are too strong." "I know, son. I also know that we do not have a prayer of winning. Judge Samuel King will be the candidate for governor, and I will be his running mate." "Why?" I asked again. "Why run against your boss if you know you're going to lose?" "Because my conscience won't let me do anything else. The games these politicians are playing disturb me." "Are you saying they're corrupt?" I asked. "I don't want to say that," said my real dad. He was an honest and moral man who rarely spoke badly about anyone. He was always a diplomat. Yet I could tell from his voice that he was angry and upset when he said, "I'll just say that my conscience bothers me when I see what goes on behind the scenes. I could not live with myself if I turned a blind eye and did nothing. My job and paycheck are not as important as my conscience." After a long silence, I realized that my dad's mind was made up. "Good luck," I said quietly. "I'm proud of you for your courage, and I'm proud to be your son." My dad and the Republican ticket were crushed, as expected. The re-elected governor sent the word out that my dad was never to get a job again with the government for the state of Hawaii, and he never did. At the age of 54, my dad went looking for a job, and I was on my way to Vietnam. At middle age, my dad went from jobs with big titles and low pay to more jobs with big titles and low pay. He was a tall, brilliant, and dynamic man who was no longer welcome in the only world he knew. He tried starting several small businesses, and even bought a famous franchise, but they all failed. As he grew older and his strength slipped away, so did his drive to start over again. His lack of will became even more pronounced after each business failure. He was a successful E employee, trying to survive as an S, self-employed, a quadrant in which he had no training or experience and for which he had no heart. He loved the world of public education, but he could not find a way to get back in. He died frustrated and a little angry, yet he died with a clear conscience. So what kept me going in the darkest of hours? It was the haunting memory of my educated dad sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring, trying to succeed in the world of business, a world he knew nothing about. That, and the joyous memory of seeing my rich dad grow happier and more successful as his years went on, inspired me. Instead of declining at age 54, rich dad blossomed. His years of methodically building businesses and investing were paying off, and he was on his way to becoming one of the richest men in the islands. The cash flow quadrant is more than two lines and some letters. If you look below the surface, you will find completely different worlds as well as different ways of looking at the world. As a person who has looked at the world from both the left side of the quadrant and the right side, I can honestly say the world looks much different depending on which side you are on. One day over lunch, I talked to my rich dad about my educated dad. "Your father and I are not the same people at the core," said Rich Dad. "While we are both human beings, we both have fears, doubts, beliefs, strengths, and weaknesses. We respond or handle those core similarities differently. How we respond to those differences is what causes us to remain in one quadrant or another. When your dad tried to cross over from the E, employee quadrant, intellectually he could understand the process, but he couldn't handle it emotionally. When things did not go smoothly and he began to lose money, he did not know what to do to solve the problems. So he went back to the quadrant he felt most comfortable in. The E and sometimes S quadrant," I said. Rich Dad nodded his head. "When the fear of losing money and failing becomes too painful inside, a fear we both have, he chooses to seek security, and I choose to seek freedom. Even though we're all human beings, when it comes to money and the emotions attached to money, we all respond differently. And it's how we respond to those emotions that often determines which quadrant we choose to generate our income from. Different quadrants, different people," I said. "That's right," said Rich Dad. "And if you're going to be successful in any quadrant, you need to know more than just technical skills. You also need to know the core differences that cause people to seek different quadrants. Know that, and life will be much easier." What are the differences? How do I tell if people are in E, S, B, or I without knowing much about them? One of the ways is by listening to their words. A person who comes from the E or employee quadrant might say, "I am looking for a safe, secure job with good pay and excellent benefits." A person who comes from the S or self-employed quadrant might say, "My rate is $35 per hour," or "My normal commission rate is 6% of the total price," or "I can't seem to find people who want to work and do the job right," or "I've got more than 20 hours into this project." A person operating out of the B or business owner quadrant might say, "I'm looking for a new president to run my company." Lastly, someone operating out of the I or investor quadrant might say, "Is my cash flow based on an internal rate of return or net rate of return?" Words are tools. Once my rich dad knew who the person he was interviewing was at the core, at least for that moment, he would know what that person was really looking for, what he had to offer, and what words to use when speaking to him. Rich Dad always said, words are powerful tools. If you want to be a leader of people, then you need to be a master of words. One word may excite one type of person, while that same word would completely turn off another person. For example, the word risk might be exciting to a person in the I, investor quadrant, while evoking total fear to someone in the E, employee quadrant. He would say, hear their words, feel their souls. Because behind the words a person chooses are the core values and core differences of that individual. When I hear the word secure or benefits, I get a sense of who the person might be at the core. The word secure is a word often used in response to the emotion of fear. If a person feels fear, then the need for security is often a commonly used phrase for someone who comes predominantly from the E, employee quadrant. When it comes to money and jobs, there are many people who simply hate the feeling of fear that comes with economic uncertainty, hence the desire for security. The word benefit means people would also like some kind of additional reward that is spelled out, a defined and assured extra compensation, such as a health care or retirement plan. The key is that they want to feel secure and see it in writing. Uncertainty does not make them happy. Certainty does. For them, the idea of security is often more important than money. The S, self-employed, want to be their own bosses, or they like to do their own thing. Often, when it comes to the subject of money, a hardcore S, self-employed, does not like to have his or her income be dependent on other people. Those who are self-employed do not like having the amount of money they earn dictated by someone else, or by a group of people who might not work as hard as they do. They also understand that if they do not work hard, then they don't deserve to be paid much. When it comes to money, they have fiercely independent souls. So while the employee often will respond to the fear of not having money by seeking security, the S, self-employed, will often respond by taking control of the situation and doing it on their own. When it comes to fear and financial risk, they want to take the bull by the horns. In this group, you find well-educated professionals who spend years in school, such as doctors, lawyers, and dentists. Also in the S, self-employed group are people who took educational paths other than, or in addition to, traditional school. In this group are direct commission salespeople, real estate agents, small business owners, restaurateurs, consultants, therapists, hairstylists, and artists, to name a few. Self-employed people are often hardcore perfectionists. And that is why we hire them. If you hire a brain surgeon, you want that brain surgeon to have had years of training and experience. But most importantly, you want this brain surgeon to be a perfectionist. The same goes for a dentist, hairstylist, marketing consultant, plumber, lawyer, or a corporate trainer. You, as the client hiring this person, want someone who is the best. For this group, money is not the most important thing about their work. Their independence, the freedom to do things their way, and to be respected as experts in their field are much more important than mere money. Many S, self-employed types, are hesitant to hire and train other people because once trained, they often end up as their competition. This in turn keeps them working harder and doing things on their own. The B, business owner, could almost be the opposite of the S, self-employed. Those who are true Bs like to surround themselves with smart people from all four categories. Unlike the S, self-employed, who do not like to delegate work because no one could do it better, the true B likes to delegate. The true motto of a B is, "Why do it yourself when you can hire someone to do it for you, and they can do it better?" Henry Ford fit this mold. My rich dad's idol was Henry Ford. He had me read books about people like Ford and John D. Rockefeller, the founder of Standard Oil. Rich Dad constantly encouraged his son and me to learn the essence of leadership and the technical skills of business. There is a science to business and leadership as well as an art to business and leadership. For me, both are lifelong studies. Leadership, Rich Dad said, is the ability to bring out the best in people. So he trained his son and me in the technical skills necessary to become successful in business. Technical skills such as reading financial statements, marketing, sales, accounting, management, production and negotiations. And he really stressed that we learn to work with and lead people. Rich Dad always said, the technical skills of business are easy. The hard part is working with people. The difference between an S type of business and a B type of business is those who are true Bs, business owners, can leave their business for a year or more and return to find their business more profitable and running better than when they left. In a true self-employed type business, if the S left for a year or more, the chances are there would be no business left to return to. So what causes the difference? Saying it simply, an S, self-employed, owns a job. A B, business owner, owns a system and then hires competent people to operate the system. Or, put another way, in many cases the S, self-employed, is the system. That is why they cannot leave. To be successful as a B, business owner, requires ownership or control of systems and the ability to lead people. For S's, self-employed, to evolve into B's, business owners, they need to convert who they are and what they know into a system. And many are not able to do that. Or they are often too attached to the system. Many people come to me for advice on how to start a company or ask me how to raise money for a new product or idea. I listen, usually for about 10 minutes. And within that time, I can tell where their focus is. Is it the product or the system of business? In those 10 minutes, I most often hear words such as these. Remember the importance of being a good listener and allowing words to direct you to the core value of a person's soul. This is a far better product than company XYZ makes. I've looked everywhere and nobody has this product. I'll give you the idea for this product. All I want is 25% of the profits. I've been working on this product, book, music score, invention for years. These are the words of a person generally operating from the left side of the quadrant, the E, employee, or S, self-employed side. Since I need to be gentle at this time, because we are dealing with core values and ideas, at this point of the conversation, I often use the McDonald's hamburger example for clarification. I slowly ask, can you personally make a better hamburger than McDonald's? So far, 100% of the people I have talked with about their new idea or product have said yes. At this point, I ask them the next question. Can you personally build a better business system than McDonald's? Some people see the difference immediately, and some do not. And I would say the difference is whether the person is fixated on the left side of the quadrant, which is focused on the idea of the better burger, or on the right side of the quadrant, which is focused on the system of business. I do my best to explain that there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there offering far superior products or services, but only McDonald's has the system that has served billions of burgers. The reality is, there are unlimited new ideas, billions of people with services or products to offer, millions of products, and only a few people who know how to build excellent business systems. Bill Gates of Microsoft did not build a great product. He bought somebody else's product and built a powerful global system around it. The I, investor, makes money with money. They do not have to work because their money is working for them. The I, investor quadrant, is the playground of the rich. Regardless of which quadrant people make their money in, if they hope someday to be rich, they ultimately must come to the I quadrant. It is in the I quadrant that money becomes converted to wealth. The cash flow quadrant simply makes distinctions on how income is generated. If you are an E, employee, you have a job. If you are an S, self-employed, you own a job. But if you own a system and people work for you, you are a B, business owner. And finally, if you are an I, investor, your money works for you. A few years ago, I read an article that said most rich people received 70% of their income from investments, or the I, investor quadrant, and less than 30% from wages, or the E, employee quadrant. And if they were an E, employee, the chances were they were employees of their own corporation. For most everyone else, the poor and the middle class, at least 80% of their income comes from wages from the E, employee, or S, self-employed quadrants, and less than 20% from investments, or the I, investor quadrant. Although my wife and I were millionaires by 1989, we were not financially free until 1994. There is a difference between being rich and being wealthy. By 1989, our business was making us a lot of money. We were earning more and working less because the business system was growing without any more physical effort on our part. We still needed to convert the cash flow coming from the business into even more tangible assets that would generate additional cash flow. We had grown our business into a success, and it was time to focus on growing our assets to the point where the cash flow from all our assets would be greater than our living expenses. By 1994, the passive income from all of our assets was greater than our expenses. Then we were wealthy. The definition of wealth is the number of days you can survive without physically working, or anyone else in your household physically working, and still maintain your standard of living. For example, if your expenses are $1,000 a month, and if you have $3,000 in savings, your wealth is approximately 3 months or 90 days. Wealth is measured in time, not dollars. By 1994, my wife and I were wealthy indefinitely, barring great economic changes, because the income from our investments was greater than our monthly expenses. Ultimately, it is not how much money you make that matters, but how much money you keep and how long that money works for you. Regardless of how much money people make, ultimately they should put some in the I, investor quadrant. The I, investor quadrant, deals specifically with the idea of money making money. Or the idea that your money works so that you do not have to work. Yet it is important to acknowledge that there are other forms of investing. People invest in their education. Traditional education is important because the better your education, the better your chances of earning money. You can spend 4 years in college and have your income earning potential go from $24,000 a year to $50,000 a year or more. Given that the average person spends 40 years or more actively working, 4 years worth of college or some type of higher education is an excellent investment. Loyalty and hard work is another form of investing, like being a lifelong employee of a company or the government. In return, via contract, that individual is rewarded with a pension for life. That is a form of investment popular in the industrial age, but obsolete in the information age. Other people invest in having large families, and in turn have their children care for them in their old age. That form of investing was the norm in the past, yet due to economic constraints in the present, it is becoming more difficult for families to handle the living and medical expenses of parents. Government retirement programs, such as Social Security and Medicare in America, which are often paid for through payroll deduction, is another form of investment mandated by law. But due to massive changes in demographics and costs, this form of investment may not be able to keep some of the promises it has made. And there are independent investment vehicles for retirement that are called individual retirement plans. Often, the federal government will offer tax incentives to both the employer and employee to participate in such plans. In America, one popular plan is the 401k retirement plan, and in countries such as Australia, they are called superannuation plans. Although all of these are forms of investing, the I, Investor Quadrant, focuses on investments that generate income on an ongoing basis during your working years. In other words, is your money working for you and generating current income for you? Let's look at a person who buys a house as an investment and rents it out. If the rent collected is greater than the expenses to operate the property, that income is coming from the I, Investor Quadrant. The same is true for people who receive income as interest from savings or dividends from stocks and bonds. So the qualifier for the I, Investor Quadrant, is how much income you generate from the quadrant without working for it. Besides the obvious advantages of knowing how to make money with money and not having to get up and go to work, there are also many tax advantages that are not available to people who have to work for their money. One of the reasons the rich get richer is because they sometimes can make millions and legally not pay taxes on that money. That's because they make money in the asset column, not in the income column. Or they make money as investors, not workers.